the Public News Service Daily Newscast for February the 13th, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. From Politico, a powerful hospitality workers union in Nevada accused supporters of Senator Bernie Sanders of attacking the group after it circulated a flyer criticizing Sanders' Medicaid for All proposal. According to Politico, the clash between Sanders, who heads into the state's caucuses next week as the frontrunner for Democrats, and the culinary union began earlier this week. The flyer obtained by the Nevada Independent conveys approval for the health care plans of four candidates, Biden, Buttigieg, Klobuchar, and billionaire Tom Steyer. The union has yet to endorse any of the Democratic presidential hopefuls. In Maryland, the first-in-the-nation Lynching Truth and Reconciliation Commission has the potential to redefine how America confronts a violent legacy of white supremacy.
One of its first missions is to find more stories of racial lynchings in the state, according to commission member Nicholas Creary. Creary began researching lynchings in Maryland about 5 years ago with his undergraduate students at Bowie State University. He says they found 40 that took place between 1854 and 1933, when historians thought there were only 28. Creary describes the case of Howard Cooper of Baltimore, who was lynched in 1885.
He was reported as being 20-something-year-old man who attacked a white woman. He was one of the few who actually got a trial, but the jury didn't even leave the jury box, and they voted unanimously to convict him. You know, less than 5 minutes to come to that. That's when they lynched him.
He says the findings inspired him to meet with a Maryland state delegate who then helped pass legislation to form the Lynching Truth and Reconciliation Commission. I'm Diane Bernard.
This story was produced with original reporting from DJ Kashmir for Yes Media. And this year, the U.S. Supreme Court expected to decide three cases that could determine whether or not federal discrimination protections apply to LGBTQ workers.
And a new report maps how widely protections vary across the nation. Logan Casey with the Movement Advancement Project and the report's author says if the High Court does not confirm federal protections, LGBTQ workers will continue to be subject to a patchwork of state laws.
And in Nebraska's case, Nebraska is a state where under state law, it's perfectly legal for an LGBTQ person to be fired or not hired or otherwise discriminated against in the workplace because of who they are.
More than half of states still lack basic employment non-discrimination protections. Nebraska state lawmakers have not yet voted on LB 627, a measure designed to ensure that LGBTQ workers in the state are treated fairly. The report classifies Nebraska as one of 12 negative equality states, its lowest ranking, but Casey says there have been improvements over the past decade. I'm Eric Galatis.
This is PNS. After past attempts to gut funding for the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative, the Trump administration's new budget plan funds the program at current levels. Mary Sherman reports some advocacy groups say the support is undermined by drastic cuts to other core clean water programs.
President Donald Trump's proposed fiscal year 2021 budget proposal slashes Ohio's funding for sewer upgrades and repairs by about one-third and for drinking water infrastructure by one-fourth. Policy Director with the Healing Our Waters Great Lakes Coalition, Chad Lord, explains that's money used to keep drinking water safe and prevent problems such as the 2014 Toledo water crisis when toxic algae contaminated the city's drinking water.
At a time when we need to significantly boost water infrastructure investments, the president's budget is a giant step backwards. If the president's proposed budget were enacted, states like Ohio and Michigan would each lose about $6 million to deal with drinking water infrastructure.
The EPA has estimated that approximately $179 billion is needed over the next two decades. Lord contends the White House budget is a non-starter and says the coalition is calling on congressional leaders to restore funding for clean water programs.
Tourism and economic development organizations say South Carolina's national parks and historic sites are in desperate need of repairs. Pending federal legislation that uses money from the oil and gas company fees paid to the federal government could provide the funds. Kelly McWhorter heads the Greenwood Regional Tourism and Visitors Bureau.
Our national site is utilized as much by locals as it is by visitors. Can you imagine from a visitor's perspective, they've planned this day and then they come and the section of the park or trail that they wanted to use is not open.
South Carolina is home to seven national parks, historic sites, military sites, and monuments. Finally, our Mark Bowen reports several groups are trying to shine a light on what they call a big problem in North Dakota, the disappearance of the independent grocery stores in small towns.
A new program called the Rural Grocery Initiative is aimed at keeping these stores open. According to the Association of Rural Electric Cooperatives, there are only 98 full-service grocery stores in North Dakota communities with less than 2,100 people. That's why the association is working with groups such as the North Dakota Farmers Union on solutions through this initiative. The union's Jason McKinney says people living in these towns need a good range of food options.
We need to have food in these communities to help people stay in their homes longer and to have another access to food, quality, healthy food.
Officials who oversee the program say a plan they're trying out is to get these grocers to buy their products collectively so that prices might come down for them. I'm Mike Clifford from Public News Service. We are member and listener supported. We're online at publicnewsservice.org.